And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Come now to the final case of the day. If everyone will bear with us a little while longer, we'll try to get you home for the holidays just as soon as possible. Mr. Covey, who do we have next?
Next, it looks like we have a defendant charged with a DUI and fleeing the scene of the accident.
Your Honor, if I could just ask you a quick favor.
Hello, Sarah. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Your Honor.
I thought this was going to be a quick case, but here stands a noble public defender to disabuse me of that belief.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. If you could just grant me a brief extension to speak with my client, we haven't quite had enough time.
Come on, Sarah. Don't drag this out any longer. This is an open and shut case. Why are we stalling?
Miss Novak, I could give you a brief continuance, but any longer than an hour or so, and your client is going to have to spend Christmas back in his cell.
It will just take a few minutes, Your Honor.
Confer with your client, Miss Novak, and we'll see you back here in 45 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
case you weren't aware, slouching in the corner and hiding your face from the judge is very suspicious behavior.
I can't face him again.
Who? Judge Hammond? Do you know him?
I can't face him again.
Why? Are you worried you won't get a fair trial? I can get a different judge or ask him to recuse himself.
It doesn't matter.
I can't help you if you won't work with me.
Fine.
Look, I don't have a lot of time here. Just tell me what happened.
It's like I told you on the phone. I fell asleep at the wheel. Simple as that. It was an accident.
And you weren't under the influence of alcohol?
No. I told the cop that and the other attorney. I don't know why you keep asking me that.
Probably because of your past DUI.
That was almost 20 years ago. That's what this is really all about, huh? Finally gonna stick it to me? I knew I should have never come back here.
Come back? You don't live here?
No. I got out of town as soon as I could, and I haven't been back since.
Then why were you coming back last night?
I came to see my mom. She has cancer. I had to come back.
I'm sorry.
It happens.
Just to clarify, you were driving to your mother's house at 2 a.m.?
Yes. I'd worked all day and I left late. I drove straight through the night to get here, and when I came off the exit, I must have started drifting off. I didn't realize how tired I was. I was almost there when I think I just nodded off for a second.
And that's when you struck the parked car and the courthouse sign?
What is the point of all of this?
Maybe you should take this a little more seriously. This would be your second DUI, and the prosecutor will want to lock you up for 30 days minimum.
That's ridiculous. I wasn't drinking. I've been sober for 2 years.
Then how do you explain fleeing the scene?
I didn't flee the scene.
Yes, you did.
No, I was cold and tired. I had hit my head. And I thought if I could just get home, then I would report it.
You still fled the scene of the accident.
All I hit was a parked car.
That doesn't matter.
Well, it should. I didn't do anything wrong, and you don't even have anything on me.
Mr. Friedman, I'm your attorney. I'm trying to defend you, and you are not making life any easier for either of us by being belligerent.
Who cares? He's going to throw the book at me anyway.
The judge? Craig, if you have to tell me something, then you need to say it.
It doesn't matter. It's hopeless.
For the inconvenience, Mr. Covey.
No problem, Judge. They sure are taking their dear, sweet time. I'm just sorry to see the public defender's office abuse your kindness. Again.
Oh, it's fine. We want to ensure that everyone receives fair representation.
Trust me, Your Honor. At this stage, they're always guilty. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in this situation.
That's quite a jaded view of our justice system.
Well, look, I'm just saying, you can't be in my line of work for this long and not realize that these creeps, they are all the same.
Well, I should remind you, you're talking about another human being.
Yes, and it's basic human nature. Criminal needs to be punished. If you let him off, he's only going to fall right back into his old ways. People don't change.
I appreciate your strong sense of justice, Mr. Covey, but you seem to be forgetting the place of mercy and forgiveness and rehabilitation. Not to mention that whole pesky concept of innocent until proven guilty.
You're changing the subject.
No. I would simply remind you that no one is perfect. And but for the grace of God, any of us could fall into all sorts of evil.
All right, Judge. I know you teach Sunday school, but this is not a Sunday school lesson. And this is not a little minor sin problem or minor indiscretion. I get that you should forgive small mistakes, but not big ones. Not when they cause harm.
Mr. Covey, we are all sinners. All we like sheep have gone astray, as Isaiah tells us. We are all deserving of judgment.
All deserving of judgment. Now who's the jaded pessimist? That's an awfully bleak outlook for Christmas Eve.
It would be if that were the end of the story. But that's only the beginning. Christmas reminds the sinner that fear and despair can give way to joy.
Just remember to be respectful and honest. I can tell you from past experience that you're lucky it's Judge Hammond in today and not Judge Miller.
Ms. Novak, are you and your client ready?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you for your patience. You too, Ryan.
May we proceed?
Yes, we will now hear the case of Mr. Where did my papers go?
Here, Your Honor.
Thank you, yes. The case of Mr. Craig?
Your Honor?
Mr. Craig Friedman. It's like a ghost from the past. I must alert counsel that I am intimately familiar with this defendant. And due to our past history, I think it necessary he stand before a different judge.
Your Honor, I'm aware that there's some history between the two of you. However, my client is desperate to have his case heard. He came here for the holidays to see his mother, who is dying of
cancer. Yes, I'm aware.
To wait for another judge would potentially leave my client in custody over these precious few days. Additionally, it would be very difficult for him to make bail. So he has requested that you please hear his case.
And how does the defendant plead to the case, to the charges of driving under the influence and leaving the scene of an accident?
He pleads guilty to leaving the scene of the accident, but not guilty to the DUI. And I should add that he would like to waive his right to a trial by jury.
For the record, Your Honor, the state has no objection to the defendant waiving his right to jury.
Mr. Friedman?
Craig, at least look at him.
Mr. Friedman, is it true that you want to stand before me and waive your right to a jury trial?
Yes.
Court will take a brief recess.
Your Honor?
Okay, Craig. What's going on? How in the world do you know Judge Hammond?
I caused his son's death.
What?
I caused his son's death.
And you just thrown yourself on his mercy? What have you done?
Thank you.
And I was a stupid kid. It was my 17th birthday. I went to a party with some friends and someone showed up with alcohol. Everyone pressured me to drink. It was my birthday.
You don't have to explain it to me.
You're my counselor, right? My advocate? You might as well know exactly who you're advocating for. I don't know how many drinks I had. It didn't even seem like that many. Suddenly I realized how late it was, and I didn't want my mom to get suspicious. I grabbed my keys and I left. Somebody tried to stop me, but I thought I was fine. I drove home. I knew I was drunk, but I knew I could do it. I was fine. I was always fine. I don't even remember exactly how it happened. But I swerved, and I didn't see him. He was out jogging, just practicing for a track meet. I didn't see him. It was an accident.
Of course it was.
It wasn't my fault. No, what am I saying? Of course it was my fault.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry, too. My life ended that night.
Craig, I don't begin to assume that I know what you've been through. But didn't you already pay the penalty for that mistake? Didn't you serve a sentence?
Manslaughter. DUI manslaughter. Isn't that an awful word? Manslaughter? I was sentenced to 2 years. But then they let me out for good behavior, probably just because of my age. Who's justice? Jason's still dead, and I still killed him. I was punished, but it didn't bring him back. It didn't wipe away my guilt, did it? Today, I couldn't even look the judge in the face, not one time.
You have to move on and at least try to live a normal life.
When you cause somebody else's death, you don't get to live a normal life. I can't move on. It's a debt that I cannot repay.
Have you tried talking to a doctor or a counselor or maybe someone at a church?
Nobody wants me in church. Nobody wants me in heaven. I don't deserve heaven. And you all know that.
I don't think any of us get to decide who deserves heaven. No, it's no problem. I didn't mean to eavesdrop. I certainly wasn't expecting to hear a discussion on heaven, but with the season and all.
I don't understand.
I think he means Christmas.
Precisely, Sarah. So you do know that Christmas is the time when Jesus came down to earth to open heaven for all mankind, don't you, Craig?
No.
Sorry again for taking so long. We're ready to proceed now.
Very well.
Opened heaven to man? How would he do that?
Assert that my client did not stagger and stumble around as my esteemed colleague so vividly imagined.
Watch the video.
In fact, my client did not intend to flee the scene at all. He was disoriented and tired and seeking shelter from the cold. He was also under the belief that his mother could die at any moment. He didn't think he had done anything wrong, and there is no evidence to prove that he was under the influence of any substance.
Your Honor, as I have stated previously, there is plenty of evidence that this was a DUI. Go back to the flight. Just go back to the flight.
Like a broken record.
The skid marks, the extent of the damage, the lateness of the hour, and most importantly, the fact that he fled the scene. Why else would he flee the scene?
Your Honor.
Because he was drunk. And he didn't want to get caught. You can't take a breathalyzer if you are nowhere to be found.
Your Honor,
it's so convenient.
Objections that I don't even know where to start.
Okay, if both of you are quite finished with your theatrical performances, I believe you can take your seats and we can bring this case to a close. Now, at this point, I've heard from both of you, as well as from the defendant himself, and we seem to be descending into a cycle of squabbling. I've heard your closings, and I'm ready to rule.
Look, whatever happens, we can appeal.
No. Fate brought me here. I deserve what's coming. Why resist?
Will the defendant, Craig Friedman, please rise? After hearing all of the arguments, weighing the facts, viewing the CCTV footage, and hearing your testimony, I find as follows. To the charge of driving under the influence, I find the defendant
guilty.
Not guilty.
What?
And to the charge of fleeing the scene of an accident, I find the defendant guilty. In determining the sentence for this crime, it is noted that the defendant has a criminal record, including a previous DUI manslaughter, of which I am painfully familiar. Due to the extent of the damages caused to the courthouse property and the suspicious circumstances of your flight, I sentence you the maximum fine allowable, $4,000.
It's okay, Craig. This is a big win. I'm sure we can come up with that amount somewhere.
What's the judge doing?
Mr. Covey, here's the amount Craig owes. It's paid in full. And if there are any other damages that his insurance will not cover, I will pay for those as well.
But, Your Honor.
Take it to the clerk and tell her to get the paperwork in order. I would really appreciate it.
Judge Hammond, wait, you can't do this.
Ryan, please.
Yes, Your Honor.
Craig, go home. Be with your mother. You're free.
But how could you do this?
I forgive you, Craig. And it's about time you accept my forgiveness. But much more than that, Craig, you need to accept God's forgiveness. Listen, I know you've heard this before at church and from your mother, but you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
I tried once. But how can you really forgive me? After all the pain I've caused and the life I've wasted, you of all people know why I can't be saved.
No, you're wrong, Craig. Jesus loves you. He died for you. Only He can truly forgive you. And Craig, He's waiting for you.
Can it really be true?
Why don't I show you?
Can it be that a man who died 2,000 years ago is what our world so broken needs today? Can it be that He truly is the only Son of God who healed the sick and even raised the dead? Can it be that He's living today? Can it be that He conquered the grave?
The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I can't repay that debt, but I do know that you can. Please come into my heart and save me. I do believe. I confess that He is my Lord and Savior.
Amen, son. There's a new name written down in glory.
Thank you, Judge. Thank you for forgiving me. I know it doesn't help, but I want you to know that my whole life I felt so guilty for what happened. I've suffered every day since that night.
Do you know what I wanted so much more than your suffering? Your redemption.
But how could you feel that way towards me, of all people?
Only God, Craig.
I feel so strange. Like this huge weight of guilt is just lifting off me. I finally feel...
Justified. Justified. It means made right or declared righteous.
Well, I can never be righteous. I know that.
No, not with any righteousness of your own. But now that Christ is your Savior, you take His perfect righteousness. Well, we can never earn salvation or wash out our many sins. But by faith in the atoning work of Jesus Christ, we are cleansed. The penalty for our sin is paid. The righteous wrath of God toward our sin is appeased. And God declares that from now and forevermore, we are justified.
Your Honor, can we speak for a minute? That scene over there, that was really something. I've never seen anything like it. But I hope you don't hold it against me. I don't understand how you can forgive him so quickly or so easily.
No, it wasn't quick or easy.
Sir, that was your perfect opportunity to avenge your son's death. He didn't even serve his full sentence. I don't understand that kind of forgiveness. I would think you'd want justice.
Justice? Mr. Covey, I love justice. I seek justice. My hope was an eternal justice. But not my justice and not yours.
I see where you're going with this. You mean God's justice.
Exactly. What is justice without mercy? And what is mercy without justice?
But it was your son.
Yes, I lost my only child, my son. I doubt that pain will ever go away. But today, I couldn't stop thinking about another father who lost his only son. And that perfect, innocent son, well, he died for the very men who caused his pain. I'm one of those guilty men, Mr. Covey, and so are you. You ask how I could forgive so easily? Simple, really. I can forgive because I'm forgiven. I must forgive because I'm forgiven. And through forgiveness comes freedom, peace, and joy inexpressible.
Sir, can you teach me more about this forgiveness that God offers?
Oh, I'd be happy to, Ryan.
Thank you. Amen. What a wonderful message. In that cantata, it reminded me a lot of a parable that Christ spoke in Luke 18. If you have your Bibles, if you turn to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Jesus gives a parable here, speaking to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And that reminded me of Ryan, Brother Jordan, during the play at the beginning. He was very self-righteous, quick to condemn others and quick to hold himself up in that position. This is just the people that Christ is speaking to here in Luke 18. And verse number 9 says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." As we consider these two men, one of them went down to his house justified, the other did not. And when we consider what cannot justify you, we see in verse number 11, this Pharisee says, "I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican." Abstaining from evil is not a way that God justifies us. Just by making sure that we don't do bad things. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, that there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We can think that we're not doing bad things, but the Bible even says that the plowing of the wicked is sin. Our unthankfulness. There's so many things throughout our day that we do that we don't necessarily consider evil, but God does. So we may try to abstain from really bad things, and we so often look at others and say, I'm not as bad as they are. This attitude here of the Pharisee is no different from most of us in here. There's been times in our life we've looked at others and said, I may be bad, but I'm not as bad as him. I'm not as bad as she is. So abstaining from evil does not justify us. And the achievement of good does not justify us. The Pharisee said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So doing good things won't justify us. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's by not by anything that we can do. Isaiah said that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Even our best things that we could do, in God's eyes, they're filthy rags. He deserves absolute perfection, absolute purity, absolute goodness, and we can never give him anything like that. Our very best is bad in his sight. Galatians 2 verse 16 says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." We need to understand, unlike this Pharisee, there's nothing that we can abstain from, and there's nothing that we can do that will make us righteous in God's eyes. We can't be religious. We can't just be good. None of those things make us righteous in God's eyes. But when we consider the other man, this publican, This one that was looked down upon by the Jews because he was in the hire of the Roman government and taking taxes from the Jews, and everyone looked down upon him. And we consider this a man. He went down to his house justified. What was the difference? We see in verse number 13 a resignation concerning your current condition. This man, this publican, we see on his part he understood who he was in a sense. He said, this publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. He had lost all hope. He did not consider himself able to be forgiven. He did not consider himself able to even be heard by God, much like Paul. I can't remember his name in the play, much like Paul in the play, that never hoped for any forgiveness from the judge. In Job 25, verse 4, the question is asked, how then can man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? You must understand that you cannot save yourself. Self-effort cannot save you. And this publican understood that. Galatians 3 verse 21 says, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. If God could have made it so that you could have worked your way to heaven, that's the way that it would have been. But that was impossible. So there must be a resignation concerning your current condition, that you understand that there's nothing that you can do. We see also in verse number 13, a repentance over that condition. It says that he smote upon his breast. Repentance is a change of mind toward God and toward sin, that it results in a change of action, a change of life. In Acts 26, verse 20, as Paul was describing his ministry and what God had called him to, and that he was not disobedient to the call of God in his life, he said that he showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Repentance is inseparably connected with a change in lifestyle. Not that change of lifestyle brings us salvation. Repentance is not just reforming your life, but it's an understanding of who you are, what your sin is, and who God is. It's the work of God in your heart as you're convicted by the Holy Spirit of God and you turn to God from your sinful ways and you trust Christ for salvation. It's turning to God with all your heart, understanding who you are and who He is. This publican smote upon his breast, and we see in verse number 13 a recognition of his need. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do you recognize your need of forgiveness? You recognize that. The Bible says that we're justified by faith. And being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 13, verse 39, it says that by Him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. When you understand your condition, there's nothing that you can do. There's nothing you can do to earn your way to salvation. And you understand yourself before who you are before God and your sin, how rotten it is in God's sight. And you turn from that sin and you turn to God in repentance and you call upon Him. You recognize your need and call upon Him for salvation. Like this man here, you can go down to your house justified. I'm thankful in the play that not just the defendant came to know that, but the prosecutor also came to know that. Have you come to know that? Do you know your need this morning? You need to be justified. The need for our sins to be paid in full. Since Christ did that for you, He did that for me. And we can sit here this morning and listen to the music, and I love the music. I love the storyline, but more than that, I love what it's supposed to represent. I love what God has done for me, that God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son. And God so loves you that He gave His only begotten Son. If you'll believe on Him, trust Him, He'll save you. And you can be justified freely through the forgiveness that is in Christ Jesus. Let's all stand together this morning. We won't be taking an offering this morning. I want us to focus on this message. And Brother Jeff, you would come and lead us in a hymn, an invitational hymn. If you're here this morning and you're lost and God's spoken to your heart, will you come to Him this morning? Will you trust Him before it's too late? We're all born in this world guilty of sin. We all need God's forgiveness. And there's nothing we can do. But Christ has already done everything. It's a matter of understanding that and receiving that gift of salvation. Put it in. Nothing on your part but for you to come just as you are. He'll change you. You have that repentant heart. You understand who you are and who He is. Listen, He'll change you. You will become a new creature in Christ. Old things will be passed away. All things will become new. You'll have the gift of everlasting life. A home in heaven. God has done so much for you. Do you know that this morning? How has it changed your life? If you're here this morning, you don't know that the Holy Spirit's convicting you. The guilt of sin is on your heart. Then don't leave here today without coming to Christ. It's not about turning over a new leaf, it's about coming to Him. Let Him clean you. Let Him change you. And He will. One more verse, please. Performing this again this evening at 6 o'clock. I invite Invite your friends, invite your family, your neighbors to come and hear this evening. And be praying for the services tonight. We're supposed to have some guests in this evening. And some also online that said that they were going to join us online that couldn't be here in person. So be praying for them. And this coming week, we have a men's meeting on Tuesday. Next Sunday, during the Sunday school hour, we are going to have no Sunday school. But we are having a breakfast. Our family would like to invite you for breakfast next week. You don't have to bring anything, just yourself and a smile. And then we'll enjoy some good fellowship next week during the Sunday school hour. So if you're not used to being here during the Sunday school hour, I invite you to come and just enjoy some good food and some good fellowship before the services next week. And next week the children's choir will be singing for us. So you can be praying for them as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Brandon, would you close this morning?